By now, you've heard me talk about Prime Zero Prep, the full-service pre-fulfillment company I personally use. I'm excited because Brendan's given me a code for $50 off the sign-up fee to see if I can bring him a few more customers. Remember, the fourth quarter's here. Now is the time to expand your business. Use a prep company that you can trust, real partner in your business. They're located in tax-free New Hampshire, and that's a big deal. You want to remember that. They can help you with OA, wholesale, private label. Oh, they can also merchant fulfill some of those last-minute orders for you around the holidays. They really are the complete pack and ship company. You need a partner you can trust, and that's PrimeZeroPrep.com. Use the code MOMENTUM, all in caps, must be in caps, and you can get $50 off, as I said. He's only going to do this for a limited time. He's only taking a few customers. Sign up now. Get premium service. Let Brendan know I sent you. Remember, use that code MOMENTUM. That's PrimeZeroPrep.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 136, Greg Purdy. You know, I love talking with Greg because he's so knowledgeable. He's so forthright. He's so honest. He's so direct. You know, I just love listening about his business. Now, I beat eBay up for a while with Greg because I don't get that many sellers that sell a lot on eBay. And Greg was at one time a mega eBay seller. He still has a lot. He even discloses he has a problem buying stuff for eBay. He still does, but he doesn't list it. And so he's going to work on that. But we, in this segment, we talked that through pretty well. And we find out some stats. I didn't know how little his eBay business is anymore. Pretty interesting to me. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and I'm very excited about this call because it's the second time we had to do it because my recorder messed up and didn't record, and it was so good, and so I know it'll even be better because I have my good friend Greg Purdy back. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, thanks, Stephen, and I can't promise it's going to be better, but I'm glad you're coming.
I'm counting on it, dude. Yeah, I'm counting on it. Yeah, hey, you know, Greg's story and all his background, which is a very interesting story on how he got to where he was, is episode number two. He is way back. In the throwback, more than a year and change ago, Greg. Can you believe that?
It's been a while, and we've both grown. I know your podcast is one of my favorite things to listen to while I work, and it's fun to see how far you've come in that short year period of time.
Well, and that's very kind of you, but in fairness, Seller Essentials, which we'll talk about, is a place I go when I need information because you've done such a good job of aggregating all the content out there of, you know, hey, what about this? How do you do this or whatever? You have so many things out there. It's very, very helpful. And so I go there quite often. So the feeling is mutual.
Thank you.
So let's do this. Let's catch up first on business. Now, you know, you are one of the few and few is relative, few in our little circle, that was heavy into eBay along with me, right?
Sure.
And you were always selling unusual stuff, and you had a lot of success with it. Now, at one point, you were probably – were you 50-50? I mean, would that be fair to say at one point?
Well, I mean, obviously, I was 100% eBay before discovering Amazon.
Yeah,
I was
recently.
Full-time eBay prior to discovering Amazon, right? So 2010 – I found Amazon, and pretty quickly, I guess I jumped on the FBA within the first year. I don't remember how long it was exactly. I could look back, but let's just say a year as merchant fulfilled, and then I jumped into FBA. And pretty soon after that, my eBay business had been dwarfed by my Amazon business.
So it was so you weren't 50-50 even. So you were 80 or 90. Now, you had help, though, with your eBay business, right?
Not until 2013, I think, October 2013, I brought a helper on board. So I was working in my office downstairs, and I wound up having to move my eBay business up to the dining room table because I had someone working in my home. And so we did it out of the house until April of 2014, at which point I moved into a warehouse.
In that warehouse. And you at one point got two people working for you on the eBay side and I guess the Amazon side, but you were moving a lot of inventory on the eBay side too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had a full-time eBay lister and a full-time Amazon / website person.
And so would you ever go back to that?
Absolutely. And right now I don't have an eBay lister, but I've got so much inventory that's not currently listed, and it's not one of my favorite things to do. So, sure, I'll put another eBay lister on. Even if it's just to get my current inventory listed, I'll put somebody on to do that. I just haven't done it yet.
You know, it's interesting. If you ever listen to Scavenger Life, it's mostly an eBay podcast, and they're just great people. My son's friends with them, so I get to talk with them now and then. And they gave a tip the other day, and I hadn't tried it. I did it today. So it was for eBay listings. And so it was basically they create the listing on the laptop or on your desktop, whatever, mm-hmm. and leave everything but the pictures. Then they go over with their iPhone, take the pictures, and then finish the listing on your iPhone. And so I had not tried it, and I did it today. Oh, my gosh, it's so much easier.
Interesting. That's exactly the opposite of the way that I heard to do it, but that seems like it makes more sense.
Well, if you think about it, it really is very efficient because the listing's done. Now, I have a pretty strong inventory system, as you know, so I, you know, take all that information and then place the item actually on the shelf. It's away. It's gone. Then I could actually, once I take the pictures, I could go home and sit there and finish the listings. I can do it at my leisure whenever I want. And the quality of the iPhone pictures is incredible. And the ability to resize the photo.
Sure.
So I must admit, I'm going to time it, but it was very efficient. I mean, like really efficient. I was like, wow, all of a sudden I'm done. And that was it.
So I do something similar in that, like the other day, and I can't, for whatever reason, I can't stop buying eBay stuff, even though I don't have an eBay lister right now. So I do occasionally pop a few listings up. So the other day, I have a local Facebook group with 10,000 members in it, and somebody posted a bunch of vintage license plates. Now, this guy, turns out, I went to pick him up. He's an eBay seller with a big warehouse. So it was great contact for me. And I asked him, why are you not listing these? He said, oh, they're not worth my time. And I said, well, I see $50 here, $50 there, $50 here, $50 there. And it was a $50 lot, and he disagreed with me, so I said, okay, I'll come back to you when I get done selling these and let you know how I did, because I'm pretty confident I know what I'm doing. And so I just went and I set each one of them up on the bed rail of my pickup truck. Or no, the sun was glaring. I turned around, I opened the back door of my truck, and I set them on the armrest, and I snapped a picture, so there's like a vehicle background of the license plate. I'm not on a table. I'm not on the grass or whatever. I put them right into the vehicle, snapped a picture, so it's got a decent looking background. And I just ran through all of them in order of the year that they came out, 1931, 1932, and so forth. And then I just send myself that file. And next time I have a chance when I'm sitting at the laptop, you know, doing whatever, I'll go ahead and list those. It'll just take me a few minutes. I'll make one listing and then just change the date and add a new picture to each one, and I'll get probably 15 listings up in whatever, half hour, 40 minutes.
But again, you're using your iPhone or your cell phone to take the pictures as opposed to – because we in the past have always used a tethered camera, and it was quick, you know, but it just – it was a game changer for me today, and I'm like, huh, it was much quicker, and the way I could see it is somebody could take their time and finish the listings elsewhere. Now, it's similar to my VA where I would send them the pictures, right, and they would create the listings. This is just a step different. So I'm not stuck on eBay. I don't get many sellers that still do it, so I don't get a chance to talk about it as much. So I like to talk about it. So you're really scaling Amazon. You're having you had a great year last year, but you're really having a strong year this year. Do you find a place that you would like to level off, do you think, or are you just going to go until you can't sell anymore?
No, I mean, Amazon is not my end-all to be-all business. It's a stepping point for me. I do not try to scale to the level that a lot of people around me are doing, but I am full-time, and it is a decent living that I make, and I do increase my sales every year, and my goal is always to match last year's sales by the end of third quarter so I can go into fourth quarter and try to double what I did the previous 9 months. I mean, it's always a good goal. You know, if you do $100 in the first 9 months, then I try to do another $100 in the last 3 months. And then next year, I'll try to do that same $200 in the first 9 months and then do another $200. Now, I don't always double every year. As a matter of fact, I never double, but that's the goal I set for myself. And I always hit my last year's sales sometime right around the end of September or the first week or so of October. Seems like, I don't know, maybe I'm limiting myself by making that my goal because I seem to always reach it. So, but I'm not trying to, you know, have the biggest Amazon business that anybody's ever seen, because I've got a lot of other things going on as well. But this is a real nice stream of income to have along with the other things that I'm doing.
Well, why don't you talk about the flexibility? Because you've got two kids at home still, or one left?
I have two at home. I have one that's a senior in high school.
Okay.
And I have one that's ninth grade.
You're involved. You're involved in their life.
So, you know, I heard somebody this weekend, I was out in Dayton, Ohio at a conference, and a gentleman out there said that he takes his salary and time off a lot of the time. And I thought, you know, that's a good way to put it, because I'm the same way. Now, I don't necessarily take days off. I may go to a conference here and there, but I'm not saying, okay, I'm not going to work today. I'm just going to kick back and watch TV. I don't take days off like that, but I can take my kids to school if I need to. My one daughter drives, but next week she has an appointment in the morning, so I'll take my other daughter to school. I'll go to work. When they have a volleyball game, which it's that season of the year, tomorrow they have one, I will be at it. When basketball season starts in another month or so, I will be at all the games. When they have concerts, because they play instruments, I'll be at the concerts. So it's a lifestyle business for me, and I'm able to do that because of Amazon, because of eBay, because of the other things I have going on. And I don't need to make it a huge business in order to enjoy that lifestyle.
Well, because you also have to work on your health and your life in that lifestyle, right? And so, you know, have you found time to work on your health?
So I think I mentioned this before. So when I left my job in 2005, I said, this is great because I can go work out at the gym every day. I've not been there yet, but I'm still thinking along those lines.
You drove past one, right? You drove past it.
But, you know, it's funny. I mean, I used to be such a workout nut. I mean, I lifted weights. I was told at 25 that I would never do anything physical again, that I might as well go get an office job because my back, after being in two very bad car wrecks, I'd not be able to do anything physical again, and I'd just have to live with that. And I took that as a challenge, and I got myself back into shape. And I was in very good shape when this happened. So, you know, I gained weight, but I got myself back into shape, was lifting weights like crazy, and just doing a lot of things to stay in shape, and did physical jobs. I went and I was driving a tractor trailer. I was working for an appliance company, a big major brand, doing deliveries and installations for them at big job sites where I would have to take refrigerators and whatnot up and down steps and install them, and whatever appliances that they sold, I handled. And then I left that to start doing it on my own. So I did very physical work. I work on cars. You know, I install engines back in the day and would tear cars apart, put cars together, and just did a lot of very physical things after I was told that I couldn't. When I left my job, I was in very good shape, but I ate a lot of food in order to maintain the weight that I needed to do that job. And when I stopped doing that physical work, I continued to eat at the level that I was used to eating, and it just hasn't worked out too well for me. And but yes, that is probably my biggest weakness. I work on my business, I work on my spiritual life, I work on my marriage, and I work on my family, but my health I've let go to my detriment, I will have to say. And I'm 50 years old, and I'm feeling it.
I will hold you accountable on it. I will start to hold you accountable. You know, though, as I sit here thinking about it, I remember Andy Slammon saying that he ate the worst ever when he was doing retail art, because he's on the road, and you know, you're eating at like McDonald's and places like that, and it's just awful, that kind of thing. So
I agree.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to answer some questions, and I think you're going to like the group I chose the questions from.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Are you ready for a boost this Q4 for your Amazon business? I have just the answer. It's called The List. Yep, that's it. The List. It's a premium sourcing service brought to you by Andy Slammons, where you get quality, actionable inventory from real sellers. These are million-dollar-plus sellers who bring you the finds in real time. Oh, and by the way, they're buying them themselves. Bring your business to the next level with The List. There are a few openings, but it's capped at 100, and they're so close, but you still can get in if you sign up now at thelistishere.com, thelistishere.com. Oh, and make sure you tell Andy I sent you. Sorry, I beat that issue so much, but it's interesting to me because I think eBay right now is going through a resurgence. And again, as I mentioned in their listing, it was so easy, and that's changing. So they're definitely making changes for the better, I think. In this segment, we're going to answer questions. We're going to answer questions from Greg's group, one of his groups called Essential Wholesale and Liquidation. And I think it's I think it's a good group because I think some people have expressed interest in getting into that business. And I think Greg does a great job explaining some of the challenges of that business. It's attractive, yet, you know, his advice at the end, which is to make sure you have a place to sell it before you buy it, is the soundest advice you can get. Okay, let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back and we're talking with Greg Purdy. And Greg has a group called Seller Essentials, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. It's more than a group. I mean, it's a website that's just so complete. And he's got his toe in 8 other things in which we can talk about. But this group, right, Greg is into wholesale. He is learning wholesale, and he'll explain that in a little bit. But he has a group called Essential Wholesale and Liquidation. And a couple things about the group. It's a free group. You got to be real to join it. But what's cool about it is they're not all Amazon sellers or buyers, which is interesting because if you come across an opportunity, and we all do, and it might not be right for Amazon, or some of it might be right and you don't know what to do with the rest of it, there are other ways that people sell merchandise. They're called brick and mortar stores, right? These little stores out there that people sell things in. But there are other distribution channels. It could be eBay. It could be just any other way. And so Greg's group does that. They do a decent job explaining that?
Sure. I mean, there's probably 4,600 members in it as of today, or 4,800. I'm not sure where we're at. And you're right. There are people in there that they make their money by selling at flea markets, or they make their purchases, buying tractor trailer loads and then sorting it out and holding their own auctions, or selling pallets at a time off to the next buyer, or pulling things out and selling them on Amazon or eBay, like you mentioned, or any number of things. But yes, and so it's wholesale and it's liquidation. And I put both words in because some people call liquidation, they'll call it wholesale. And you know, it's kind of a people mix the terms up sometimes. And I wanted to see what people were more into. So I started a group to learn what people were into, to try to figure it out. And then also to learn the business myself, you know, because the wholesale business is a little different than the liquidation business. And because every manufacturer sells wholesale at some point, you know, they're selling to a distributor or they're selling to a middleman. At some point, you might be that middleman. But a liquidation deal would be when they haven't been able to sell it, or when a load was refused where it was being shipped to, or it was sent into Amazon and didn't sell, it was pulled back out, or it was lost somewhere in traffic and they finally found it and it gets liquidated out, or this year's model is discontinued and next year model comes out and they're getting rid of what's left, or for whatever reason the products are being liquidated and they're being sold generally at far below what the wholesale price would have been even just a few weeks, a few months earlier. And I wanted to learn that business. So I started the group in order to try to figure out how to work that business to add it into my business model and my income streams.
It fascinates me, some of the merchandise that's sold in the group. Let's answer the questions, and I actually want to call out some of the merchandise because it blew me away. All right, so here's a question. Somebody wants to start buying wholesale pallets. Are there requirements other than money to be able to buy wholesale pallets? I mean, it's a very generic question, and it's somebody obviously new who doesn't understand it, but, you know, it's a legitimate question for somebody who's never seen it before. So briefly, give me some other concerns that would be, other than having money. Of course, you have to have money.
Sure.
That's given.
And I guess the first thing that I hear is, I'm guessing they're talking about liquidation, right? Just from the way that they're wording it, I'm thinking
yes,
they're talking about liquidation. And again, the terms get mixed up sometimes. But assuming that they're speaking of, they want to buy some liquidation pallets and try to make that a business, I would tell them, get your education, because there is a learning curve and there are a lot of terms that you're going to have to understand. And so I'm going to tell them, get your education. And you can do that one of a number of ways. You can just spend some time in the group and read the posts and communicate and just watch what other people do and try to, you know, experience it through what they're doing. There's a guy out there who is the true expert named Rob Sear, and he has a book called The Liquidator's Guide. And that's a fantastic piece of information that will teach you the terminology. It will tell you who the main players are. It'll tell you how to buy the loads from Walmart or from Kohl's or whatever. You know, tell you, you know, how they sell their loads, the different types of loads that there are. And, you know, if you want to buy a tractor trailer load, how you need to go about that. If you want to buy four pallets, who you're going to deal with and how you need to go about that. And he actually just updated that for 2017. So a wealth of information. I would say first, yes, you need money. Second, you need information, education. And you need to know your risk tolerance, because there are, I don't even want to say there's bad actors out there, shady dealers. There are, but just the fact that if you don't know what questions to ask, you could get burned, and it may be a very innocent thing that happens from the other end. You may just not ask the right question. The seller may answer all of your questions, but you didn't know that other question to ask, and you got burned.
That's the likely scenario right there, is you don't know what you don't know.
Absolutely right.
And that's the challenge. And I think that is the biggest challenge for most people, because, as you say, there's such a learning curve. But it's still a good opportunity to buy a small lot. I've seen the electrical lots, and most of it's junk, it's shelf pulls or returns or whatever, but there's still a market for some of that stuff. And as you said, that's, if you go to a flea market, you always wonder where those people get that inventory. This is an opportunity where they would.
Sure.
So the other thing is receiving pallets. You just can't receive a pallet in a lot of neighborhoods, or it's not convenient. The truck driver's not going to want to sit there watching you unload 52 pallets by hand. They got the next run to make, right?
Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, number one, 52 pallets would mean that they're double stacked, so you're not going to do that on that truck driver's time. Generally, when a delivery is made, you've got a few minutes to get it off. If you're getting a whole tractor trailer load, that driver usually is allowed 2 hours with that stop, and anything over that, you're paying a demurrage charge to the company that sent that driver out. But yes, if you live in a neighborhood, you're likely going to need a lift gate. There's an additional charge for that. So there's just many, many variables there that you need to figure out. And I would always say start small. I mean, when I started my first deal, I bought three pallets. And I actually bought them out of a storage unit that was local to me. And I was able to strip the pallets and carry the boxes home on the truck. The next deal I bought was a pallet full. The next deal I bought was a partial pallet. You know, and just trying out different things. You know, I didn't jump into a tractor trailer load. Number one, I don't have a place to store that much freight and that much inventory. So, and I don't want to get burned. But as I'm learning it, you know, I'm asking the questions. I'll ask the same question three times to the same person. You know, I'll ask them, is it this? And they'll give me an answer. And I'll ask the same question a different way to see if I get the same answer, because I want to make sure that they understand what I'm saying. I've learned that from dealing with, you know, people that speak other languages where English is not their first language. Dealing with people in China when I'm trying to get private label stuff ordered, or dealing with VAs in the Philippines when I'm trying to explain something. And I think that I'm very clear, but English is not their first language. They miss one of the nuances of something I've said. So when I'm laying cash out, I'm asking that question three times in a different way to make sure they fully understand what I'm asking. And then if I feel confident that I'm getting the answers that I want, I'll go ahead and make a move. And that's the other thing. You can't be afraid to make the buy. You know, nobody's going to hold it while you sit around trying to make up your mind, because when somebody else comes to them with cash to buy that load, they're going to sell. They're not going
to
wait for you.
They have to.
Yeah.
Right. That's what their goal is. They got to sell it because they have money in it and they got to flip it quick. Hence the liquidation, right? Liquid. That's that term, right? That's what
Absolutely.
It means. And I agree with you. When somebody says a pallet full, you don't buy wholesale just a pallet of things.
No.
There's usually a quantity, gross, whatever, that kind of thing. Okay. Here's the next question. Somebody was looking, and this is kind of more of a conversation piece, but they were looking for pallets or truckloads of MREs, right? Meals ready to eat.
Right.
So that's a very specific thing. And that's one of the things I noticed in the group, is that you can actually request things. Hey, I'm into Pokemon cards.
Right.
I'm looking for pallets of Pokemon cards or whatever. But in this case, it's that. Have you seen a lot of that kind of stuff? And does that work?
No, I think it works very well. I mean, because, you know, you throw something like that out there. As a matter of fact, I looked on there today and somebody's selling MREs. So now they didn't know what the expiration date was. And that's something you have to be careful of when you're buying liquidation, is if you're buying products with expiration date, that might be why it's being liquidated, because it was short dated. So, you know, and you don't want anything coming out of Amazon that's being liquidated that has dates on it. I don't want to say you don't want anything, but generally the reason it's being pulled from Amazon is because it's too close on the date. And if you're an Amazon seller, you're not going to be able to send that back in. Now, if you're a flea marketer, it doesn't matter. right? Coffee, for example, they date coffee not because it goes bad in 6 months, but because they want to turn it fast and they want you to look at it in your kitchen and say, oh, this is expired, I better go get some more. So they date the coffee, which is totally unnecessary from a freshness standpoint, because I can drink coffee beans that are 2 years old, and I know I'm a coffee connoisseur. There's really not much difference. So, you know, if they're dating stuff like that, it's only because they're trying to sell more of it. But some products actually do break down if you're talking about hair care products or whatever. And if you're getting products that are close to an expiration date, a lot of times that means that product's been around for 2 or 3 years already. And sitting in a warehouse for that long, it may have some quality issues. So I would say be careful with that. But yeah, there's a lot of posts on the site, people looking for specific things. And if you are someone who has a deal worked out with Walmart, let's say, and you're getting tractor trailer loads of shelf pulls, you may just happen to have that item that person's looking for in bulk. And you may be able to bring in a tractor trailer load and say, wow, look at this. I got 1.5 pallets of hairbrushes, and I can fulfill this person. This person was looking for 1,000, and here I've got 4,000. I'll sell them 1,000 of them. So, yeah, sure, that a lot of those deals take place on the site.
Love it. And, you know, it's funny. When you look at the site, you're starting to see those kind of – those patterns of those deals. I love it. Mm. Okay. I think about – I want to actually talk about a couple of these deals, and just maybe you can kind of – and I don't want you to call them out, but I think it's important to talk about what types of things are for sale. So here's somebody selling mid-tier women's boots, 4,000 pairs of mid-tier women's boots. Now, these are boots, you know, Nine West. Right. You've seen these in our market. We would see them in Bontons at Rampage, and you would see them. I've seen quite a few of these around. There's Rampage. Let me see another name. And so when you're getting these things, can you get a bill of lading? Oh, Rocket Dog, Rialto. We've all seen these pretty much in a lot of these different places. It kind of reminds me of Zulily, right? These liquidation kind of things. Can you get a good manifest that will be accepted by Amazon if that's where the direction you were going with these?
You can sometimes, not always, and that's another thing you have to be concerned with. But sure, it depends on who the distributor is that's actually selling this load. That load may be coming straight from Kohl's, let's say, and there may be a Kohl's manifest attached to the load. And okay. I would assume that Amazon would accept that. I've not experienced that, but I would assume that they would, because you have a manifest that has Kohl's on it, and Kohl's is actually the one liquidating that load. So I would say more than likely that would hold water with Amazon.
Well, you also have to watch for counterfeits. I mean, that's a real-world item, mm-hmm. right? You've got to watch for that. Is there a way to prevent some of that?
I try to prevent it at the administrator level of the site that I'm on now. I mean, I can only speak to that group. I mean, when people come on, and we have some posting requirements that you can't just post, hey, I'm a liquidator, contact me. You have to say, I've got 2,000 of this product. It's this many pallets coming from this zip code for this price. And that's how they have to be posted in the group. And that way I can look at it, or another administrator that I have can look at it and say, wait a minute, it doesn't ring true. Why would this person have, you know, Disney shirts in this bag, along with this shirt in that bag, along with Ralph Lauren in that bag, along with, you know, another brand name in that bag, and they're all in the same exact bags with the same exact printing, all coming from this country over here or that country over there, doesn't ring true. And I can say, no, we're not allowing it on the site. You know, if you don't have the provenance of that load, that you can prove to me that, you know, it is a legitimate manufactured item, it's not going on the site. And if anybody posts anything that I find that's fraudulent in any way, I just ban them from the site and all of my sites permanently. I'll kick them out of every group I'm in. I'll go look them up in all my groups, and I'll ban them, and I won't let them back in. So, you know, I'll kick somebody out for breaking a rule. I'll ban somebody for trying to sell counterfeit merchandise.
Love it. So wholesale and liquidation is something you need to tread lightly. You need money, right? And sometimes you need a lot of money. Generally, you're going to pay for the shipping, so you need to consider that in. And you got to be careful to make sure that you can prove that it's legitimate merchandise. However, you're buying it with those risk factors factored in, because it's going to be cheap.
It's going to be cheap.
It's going to be cheap. And so having a B plan, having that place to sell it, I think that was something you told me about too, is a lot of times a lot of these people who are buying these things already have a place to sell it. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I think that's important. When I see something that I'm interested in, I try to figure out where could I move that. Now, obviously, my ultimate goal is to put it on Amazon because I feel I get the most money out of anything that I sell on Amazon out of all of my platforms. But it's not always able to be sold there. And if it can't sell there, where is it going to sell and for how much? And so, I'll take a look at something and I'll say, you know what? I know this guy down at the flea market, or this guy that has a mom and pop store over here, and I know that he buys laundry detergent, and he's already told me that he'll take up to 500 boxes of Tide, I'll just make up something, at any given time. And when I see a load of Tide pop up, I know what he'll pay for it, so I can negotiate on that. And I can go ahead and have it sold prior to ever taking delivery of the product. Now, I think it's a good way to make quick money, especially if you're dealing with someone who's trustworthy on both ends. If you know the seller is not selling you a load of Tide that's set out in the rain, is all clumped together, but it's fairly fresh product and the boxes are in good shape and they would look good on a retail store shelf, then sure, I would say line up your sale first. And if you can't make the sale before you buy it, don't buy it, right? If you don't have a way that you know you can move it, and like you said, have a plan B. I bring in a lot of a certain electronic item. There's three brands, and there's about a total of 15 or 18 SKUs within those three brands, but they're all part of the same sort of a product line. Let's say they're all computers, or they're all, stereo systems or whatever. It's neither of those. But three brands, 15 or 18 SKUs, they all go to Amazon. Majority of them are very low rank. They sell very well. They sell very quickly. A couple of them are slow to move, but I take them just to get them off the market because I don't want the person to have to go find another buyer to take the stuff that I won't take, because if he finds another buyer for that, they'll probably want the stuff I am taking. So I buy the bad stuff too, and I just take the loss on it, but I make it up on the other end. But if I could not sell that on Amazon, I can sell it on eBay. If I couldn't sell it on eBay, I can sell that at the flea market, and I can be profitable at any of those venues, so I'm good. And if Amazon were to kick me off tomorrow and I've got all that inventory, I do have a way to sell it. So I would not want to get stuck with only one place to sell a product.
And I think that's really the final point with this, is that you really have to have where you're going to sell it, because – if you've been doing this for any length of time, you've got inventory sitting in your warehouse, especially if you have a warehouse. We all have those dark corners of the warehouse, products that, I think of the QVC boxes I have sitting in my warehouse. Somebody's private label, they brought to QVC, they sold some, but the rest are sitting, and you get them cheap. Well, guess what? That's because there's no market to sell them, right? And so you've really got to think that stuff through and learn that just because something's cheap, it does not mean it's a great deal, or that you're ever going to really sell it, even though, I think of the $2 items that just don't sell, So I think that's a good point. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, I want to catch up on some of these other things that you're involved in, because I can't keep up, and I really need to catch up with you. Be right back.
This episode is sponsored by me. Yes, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. This is the ecommercemomentum.com is actually sponsoring it. And it's because I've been able to get the new website up. Not finished by any stretch, but I had to get it up because the player is so much better. You really want to go check out the player. It lets you do so many cool things, including Clammer. And if you don't know what Clammer is, once you try it, you will love it. You can take snippets and send them to somebody else. It's very cool. But I've also added a blog page, and I have my first post up, and they're just short thoughts that I have. I wrote 19 of them when I was on vacation, just different things that I think I'm hopefully going to provoke some thought and get you thinking about really investing in your business, because I think it's time to invest in this lifestyle business, but I want you to invest in your life. And some of these things are going to be about life. Some of these things are going to be about reducing touch points, things that, are on my mind, and I talk to so many people, they're on their mind too. So I think there's some benefit there. So ecommercemomentum.com, when you sign up, you will get 25, yeah, here's my big sales pitch, 25 things you can outsource in your business. I think most of them will be intuitive. There's a few there you might say, I might didn't even think I could do that, but you can. And I give you a list of different things, all free. And I just hope you sign up, because then you'll receive notifications when I do post a new blog post or when I have a new episode coming out. These episodes, you know, two a week plus some blog posts, I put out a lot of content. I really hope you enjoy it. Again, if you see somebody that you think is worth me interviewing, send me a note, private message me, and I'd love to talk with them. ecommercemomentum.com is the sponsor. Take care. And in this segment, we're going to hear about what Greg has going on. Let me tell you, as a busy dude, he's got a lot of irons in the fire. And I think that that's part of what you have to do. You know, Greg's full-time. He really is working on the lifestyle part of his business. And I think his advice about that he's created himself a part-time, a good-paying part-time job, I think isn't a bad place to get to. I think it's something that's worth acknowledging, and then you can start working on that. Once you acknowledge it, that it's still part of a job, you can work on eliminating some of that stuff. Let's get back into the podcast.
We're back, and we're with Greg Purdy, and I'm chuckling because you really are into a lot of things. Okay, so let's just get this clear. You are a full-time e-commerce seller selling 90% on Amazon, 10% on eBay, although we have come to the conclusion that you are a eBay hoarder, can't pass up a deal, you just don't list it, but that's true. You have a group, you have a website called Seller Essentials, and it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. The website is so complete. I mean, we're going to end up talking about this for hours because it's just, there's so much information on it. It blew me away. The last time I looked, and I hadn't been there in just a couple of weeks, and I'm like, oh my God, he just added this and he added this. So you really address the Amazon selling platform, and you address not only a little bit, you address services. Here are the prep service companies, and you've got a master list of prep service companies. You've got a master list of
brands. Right? We had the restricted brands page up when Amazon decided to start really restricting brands. And as a result, that page is number one on Google. If you search Amazon restricted brands, we are right at the top of the page, and we've been there. We were there before, but we're fully cemented into the top position of Google search if you look up Amazon restricted brands, because we were already in a position to make that move and to claim that spot.
I'm trying to count them real quick. There's 100-plus on this list.
Well, and, you know, so we had to make a decision because, you know, a lot of things were happening very quickly. And we had a list that was pretty extensive that was, I would say, was either the whole brand was restricted for everybody or there was something within that brand that was restricted. I used to say, because people say, wait a minute, Adidas is not restricted. And I'd say, well, you know, no, Adidas shoes may not be, Adidas clothes may not be, but try to sell an Adidas watch, right? So there was something in there that would be restricted. We weren't saying don't sell Adidas. We were saying check it out before you try to list every single Adidas product that you come up with, because we can't list every SKU. Amazon doesn't give us that information. Amazon doesn't have that list. So whenever we would hear, wait a minute, I tried to list something, it was restricted, we would just add it to our list, and we were building that list out. Then all of a sudden Amazon came down and started restricting almost every name brand out there like 2 months ago. And at that point, Adidas got restricted. Now, as far as I know, that restriction's been lifted, at least for sellers that were already selling on that brand. But at the time, I even got, you know, a whole slew of emails saying, you can't sell this SKU anymore. It's, you know, it's in the Adidas sports category. We've just now restricted it. And I had a whole handful of things that I supposedly couldn't sell. So we said, well, wait a minute, these things are subject to change. You know, Amazon has just done something that to me seemed very irrational. And I think I understand the reason for doing it, but I didn't think it was going to be a permanent thing. So I said, let's make another section of newly restricted items, and let's just watch them for a while. And because I'm thinking some of these brands are going to fall off of our list and they're going to go back to being okay, or we're going to find out, you know, there's a permanent restriction here, and we'll move them down into the bottom where all the rest of them are. So that page is in transition right now, but it's very up to date. We get emails because actually at the bottom of that page there, there's a place where you can fill out if you know of another restricted brand. And we're getting that information daily in our emails, and we're adding those brands daily onto our list.
Well, it makes sense, though. And I think you pointed out that not every seller is restricted on the same items, and that kind of makes sense, right? And so I think it's a fluid moving list, and you have a qualifier and they're saying, hey, just because it's on the list doesn't mean it's restricted to you. Use the Amazon seller app, check it, make sure that you can send it in before you buy it. You know, it's not perfect, but it's better than getting that inventory. Then what do you do with it, right? So I think that that's really great advice. Yeah. So there was a lot of information there. There's all the seller supplies. If you're a new seller and you're looking for, hey, I need to get poly bags, hey, I need to find this, I need to find that, you've got a link for all those different things, because a lot of it people don't know, right? It's not intuitive. You don't understand that. And then there's just a lot of information. I mean, it's just every content provider I can see is pretty much here. All the different information, book selling, arbitrage, liquidation, wholesale, and just a whole bunch. Now, so let's not say that that's the end of it. Now you got a thing called Essential Daily Deals. And you were one of my original sponsors on the podcast when I started a year and change ago. And Essential Daily Deals has really grown. So talk about that for a second.
So I have a business partner. Actually, I have two business partners with Seller Essentials. At the time I started the website, I had a guy working in my warehouse, and we talked about him on the last podcast, Jeremy. Well, I knew that I had this vision of what I wanted Seller Essentials to be, and I knew that I did not want to fund that out of my pocket. So Jeremy was in school at the time, or maybe had just graduated with a degree in IT or in computers of some sort, and I knew that he knew how to work the back end of WordPress, and he knew some other things that I would be paying. Even if I was paying a VA to do in the Philippines, I was going to have to finance it for a long time to get it to where I wanted it. So I said, look, I'll make you an equal partner if you'll do this for me for free. And then if we ever make money with it, you'll be an equal partner. And he agreed. And then Gary Baird, who I was in a mastermind with, and we were doing some things together, I brought him on board as well in the Seller Essentials, and he's been providing content with me. Gary is a master when it comes to arbitrage, whether it be retail or online. So not long after starting the group, we started discussing putting together an online arbitrage daily deals list. And we decided to make it to where we were not going to deal with restricted brands, or I should say restricted categories. So there was going to be no shoes, no clothing. It was just going to be things that if you were new to Amazon, you would likely be able to sell these products. And so we started putting that list together. And now I don't want to say that we're every day online looking for these deals, because we're not. We actually use VAs in the Philippines. But the difference between us and, I would have to say, every other list out there, or at least the majority of other lists out there, is that we don't just pay a VA to find deals for us and then hand them off to our members. We actually are working with a dozen VAs in the Philippines. So we start our morning off with a very large spreadsheet full of deals that they've found the night before. Now, and they don't know what each other's finding. So some of them are duplicates. We have a head VA that actually compiles it all and goes through and kicks out the duplicates, goes through our – we keep a spreadsheet of every single deal that we've ever released, and they go through and match the ASINs to see if we've already included that in the past. And if it's been – you know, within the past few months, it absolutely won't make the list again. Now, we'll bring something back around if it's been out, you know, months ago and we see that it's back out and it's a good deal. But so she'll go through the list first, and then we'll get it in the morning. And we start with a pretty good sized spreadsheet full of deals, and we vet these deals. I mean, even though they're on our list, doesn't mean they're going to make our list. And we kick stuff out that I promise you other deals providers would love to have. But we want to put out the best possible list that we can put out. And so we go through and we make sure that it meets our criteria, and we try to add some to cart, and we make sure that the coupon codes are there and the cashback sites are listed that you can, you know, get 5% back from UPromise or 3% back from Ebates or whatever it is. We make sure that all those links are there. All that information is there. We put the link into the deal. We put the link into the Amazon page. And we put out at least 10 deals a day, Monday through Friday, to our subscribers. We've always tried – I used to brag, but we've never had a day where we've only put out 10. I can't say that any longer because, honestly, we increased the requirements. We made it harder for our VAs to find deals, and it almost backfired on us. I mean, it was tough there for a little while to put the list together, and we were having to add stuff to it, but we've figured it out, and we've got it back working. We actually wound up grabbing three VAs that are not related to the other group, and we have them working with OA X-ray. And now we're in the process of getting ready to have a VA that's working with tactical arbitrage, and we're trying to find deals from every possible angle that we can put the best deals list out to our subscribers, and we've had that out for over a year now. We have people in our group that have been with us from the very beginning. We have international sellers with us. We have people that are full-time. All they do is buy from our list, maybe one other list, and they're making a very nice full-time living. We have people that are very part-time. It got to be a little tricky 2 months ago when Amazon started restricting everything because, again, we try to put out a list where even a new seller can find product to resell, and we're not putting in restricted categories. So when they started restricting brands within the ungated categories, it made it tough for us. But what we do is, and this is another way that I know we're different than every other list out there, is we actually have a seller account that has never sold a single product. And we take every single deal and we run it through that account to see if we can sell it. And if we can, we put it on the list if it's going to make our list. If we can't, but it's still a good deal, we put it on a second list below that when it goes out in the same email. But we'll say, hey, the ones above the line, unrestricted for everybody. The ones below the line, you may want to check, but here's some bonus deals for you. So it's made it harder on us again because now we still have to give out 10 above the line or more, but we're putting out basically the equivalent of two lists every day to our subscribers by checking it through a brand new seller account. And I guarantee you there's nobody. If anybody else is checking their deals through a new seller account, it's because they're a new seller and you don't want to buy those deals. We are experienced sellers and we're checking our deals through a brand new seller account.
Well, those extra steps pay off, and that's definitely one of the reasons that people have been with you for more than a year. Now, it's a paid course, right, or a paid group, right? So I want to make sure people understand that you do charge for the service, and I'll have a link for you that if you're interested in, Greg. And I say this about all, I think there's a place for all the lists that are out there, and I think you have to find the people that you're comfortable with, and that to me is when you figure out who you're comfortable with and who you can relate to and who will take and answer your questions when you have them. I think that's really great.
So here's what I know, if I could just say one more thing, because we post our deals. We post our
– you just can't disparage any of them.
And I wouldn't do that.
I would never let anybody ever do that to any of yours.
So we post our deals into our group every day. The spreadsheet every day becomes our pinned post, and then we also email it out to our subscribers. And then if you have questions, whatever, you can always reach out to us in our list. I was going to say something else and I forgot, and it'll come back to me later, and maybe I'll revisit it. But no, I would never disparage anybody. There are some. Oh, that's what I was going to say. There's some very good lists out there, and I belong to some, and Gary belongs to some, and the people that I know that are the most successful in online arbitrage are buying lists. They're not trying to find it all themselves because they know that their time is limited. Now, I think that some of these tools that are out there are helping people to do better in that limited amount of time. But lists are a tool. And if you find a list that makes you money, and you mentioned ours costs money, it does. It's $149 a month, and we have discounts for 3 months or 6 months. So it costs money. But if I can lay out, because I belong to other lists, if I can lay out $100 here and I can make back $200, $300, $400 that I wouldn't have made otherwise because I wouldn't have known about that product, that list is a valuable tool to me, and I will use it.
Okay, fair. So what's next? I mean, you've got this going on, you've got that going on, plus you're selling, plus you got family. What else are you working on that we can talk about?
So we actually started another group, which is for retail arbitrage, and I'll give you a link to that as well. So my FBA team, and we're doing a Q4 group right now that'll last until December 31st. And that was, again, it was another thing that was born out of necessity. We'd started a TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Ross, et cetera, group to focus on those stores. And Amazon turned around and restricted all the brands that we were really posting a lot of into that group. And a lot of our members all of a sudden are saying, wait a minute, we can't sell these products anymore. So for Q4, we're opening it up to other stores, Target, Walmart, Toys R Us, et cetera. And we're going to be putting deals in that even brand new sellers can sell. So we'll still post all the stuff that's now become restricted, the Nikes and the Coach and Ralph Lauren and Lego or whatever, but we're also going to be posting the stuff in that you can find at these other stores that are not restricted. So that's myfbateam.com. I'll give you a link to that one as well. But there's a special Q4 group that'll last until the end of the year. Same thing, we're doing a mailing, we're doing a group where you can discuss and ask questions, but we don't require people to post deals. So it's not like you're going to get a brand new seller that's posting something and you as a new seller go out and buy it and then find out that it wasn't really any good. So we're keeping it to where we're doing the posting, and but that's a good group. So we've got that. Let me talk about the site just a little bit. You asked what we're doing, and I have not said this to anybody outside of our the people that work with Seller Essentials, but we're redoing the site right now, and we've got a developer right now that's feeding ideas to us because, you know, we're very good at providing content, but we're not very good at design and art, and none of us really have much of an artistic bone in our body. Now, Gary is married to a very artistic person, but she doesn't work on the site, so we've actually hired a site developer and designer, and I'll just say this. Go look at our site now, because I know that this recording will come out before it's done, but then come back and check us out again in a month or two, because I'm telling you what we're getting ready to do is blowing my mind just for the appearance of the site. It'll work better for the end user. It'll be easier to find things, and it'll look like the site was created in 2017 and not, you know, 1997 or whatever. So, and that's not to disparage Jeremy in any way. He's done a great job putting it together, but we're going now with graphic design to make it look better. So that's coming out very soon, and I'm just totally excited about that.
That's exciting. It's exciting to see you evolve and, you know, you learn. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. You had a good year. I mean, you had a great year last year. You're having a great year this year. What did you learn that you could offer for advice to people? I mean, there's definitely some things that you wouldn't do again, right?
Sure.
Can you give us anything that you learned that you think that others can benefit from?
Go back and revisit what you've done in the past that was successful. You know, because with me, I'm always trying the new thing, and it's I love it, but it's also to my detriment because I'll let things go sometimes because I've moved on to the next shiny object. And the thing is, I'll stick with shiny objects long enough to learn them and to figure out if I can make them successful, but sometimes I have to let something go. Even something as simple as going back on a past list. Like, so here's what I did a couple weeks ago. All right, we're moving into October, so I'm going back through the lists that I put out a year ago, and I'm saying, okay, wait a minute, I bought this product, and I'll click it, and I'll see the store where it came from, and I'll click, and I'll see if it's on sale again this year. Are they still carrying that product? If not, what are they carrying that's similar? And I'll look it up on Amazon to see if it's profitable from that same store. You know, I'm only looking for the stuff that I actually made money on, not just everything that I bought. But if I find something that, wow, this was really good, and actually by doing that, I found a store that had closed that I didn't even know had closed down because I hadn't bought anything from them. And that's, again, that's a problem that a lot of people have. They'll buy something one time and they'll walk away from it. And it's like, wait a minute, that product made me money. Why didn't I go back and reorder that? Mm. And I didn't. And when I went back to look at it again this year, the store closed down. And I didn't know it had closed down, so that wasn't my reason for not buying it. I just missed going back to buy more.
But that's a pro tip right there. So, you know, I mean, especially as you're saying, you know, if you want to do 50% of your sales in these next 3 months, so if you went back and looked at those things that you sold last year when you were doing 50% of sales from then, and you can find them again and again, and, you know, if the price is relatively the same, I mean, you don't have to go look for a new product. You already have
sure.
it. And so that's a great, great, great idea. That's a pro tip right there.
Yeah, a lot of product definitely increases in price as we move into the fourth quarter, especially getting closer to Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Christmas. And, you know, so.
Can you give me one thing that you stopped doing that you won't do again?
Oh, I'm sure.
And maybe it,
I'm sure,
you know, maybe it's
a bunch of those.
No, it doesn't have to be. I mean, I remember when I talked with Dan Miller, when I interviewed Dan Miller, he's like, Steve, I get rid of 10% of what I do every year, even though it's profitable, because I want to fill it with 10% new because I'm so excited about what the potential of that 10% new is. And I thought, wow, there's a guy who really is self-aware, right?
Sure.
He knows that it's exciting for new stuff. You've had that same experience, right?
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of times I'll stop things temporarily, and that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. You know, I mean, for now, I've stopped going to thrift stores because I don't have a way to get all my stuff listed, and I, I hate to think how much money I have sitting there. I guess I could look it up because I've got it documented. But, you know, it's like I don't need to continue to add to that. Now, occasionally, again, through one of my Facebook groups, I'll find something. I'll go get it. But I'm not riding back and forth to the thrift store once a week or twice a week to buy more of the stuff, even though I know it'll sell and it will sell. But it's not going to sell if I don't list it. None of the stuff that's sitting there that's not listed has sold this week. And that's just something I've got to remind myself. I don't need to add to that collection. I need to add to the collection of stuff that's listed. So I'm not going back to the thrift store right now. I've let that go. But I will pick it back up because I know it's profitable, but it's not profitable right now for me.
Well, and let me ask you this, a final question. Has this become a job for you, or is it really that lifestyle business? I know we talked about that earlier, but because there's a risk it becomes a job.
Yeah, and you know, I would love to say that it's not a job. Some days it is a job. I mean, some days I know I've got to get this stuff done, and I've got to get it done today. And in those days, it feels very much like a job. I just got back into town last night at, I forget what time, 9:30, 10, probably 10 o'clock at night. I was gone for 5 days. 2 weeks earlier, I was gone for 7 days. And, you know, during those times, I'm still making money, and it's a lifestyle business. So, you know, yeah, I came back today scrambling to get a lot of stuff done, and I will be at it, you know, till 11 or 12 o'clock tonight doing stuff I have to do. And then I'll be doing stuff I want to do to try to get caught up on some more stuff, because I do have to let things go while I'm gone. But, you know, so, yeah, there's a job aspect to it. There's a lifestyle aspect to it. And I try to continually build that lifestyle aspect, and one day I'll be able, again, to walk away from my job. I've walked away from my job in the past to go working for myself, and I basically bought myself a good job. And now I have basically a good part-time job and a good lifestyle.
Yeah, that's where you're going.
I got a good
lifestyle.
I like
the way you said that.
So.
I like the way you say that. It's not an all or nothing. And I think that that's really the right answer, because when you're working a job or a real job, it's a job and that's it, right? I mean, that's it. You've been able to work your way out of it slowly but surely, and you're down to a good part-time job. And I think that's a smart move. It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Sure.
And I think that that's so smart. Dude, I thank you so much. I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see what's next. I just can't wait. Because it's always changing. I mean, again, and I'll have links to all the stuff you talked about. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy, and I wish you nothing but success.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank
it's always
so
a
much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Take care.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com.
And he's such a great guy. I hope you got as much from that interview as I did. Again, I think he does a great job explaining the wholesale business and liquidation business. There's a lot to it, and there are, don't take it lightly. But it is worth dipping your toes in if you can find a way to sell that merchandise. Check us out, ecommercemomentum.com. If you sign up, you get 25 things you can outsource in your business, which you can take. Most of them are pretty intuitive. I don't think I'm going to light any world on fire. But what you do also get is you get a newsletter. You get once a week from me, and it has in there a list of the podcasts that came out that week, plus any blog posts I did. And I actually have a little bit of more content coming, and it'll only be in the newsletter. So, you know, there's no cost. Ecommercemomentum.com. It's pretty easy to sign up. Hope you enjoy it. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.